Dave Spicer, what's the significance of the first ever Autism Pride Week for you?
For me, it shows an evolution. It shows how far the understanding of autism has come and the level of expression that's coming up from those of us on the autism spectrum. It further buries the notion that autism is this terrible stigma, this curse practically that is inflicted on people and so on and so forth. Things have come a long, long way over the years since I first became involved with the autism community shortly after my own diagnosis in 1994. There's still a long way to go, but this week is the opportunity not for a wake mourning the lives that we could have or should have had, but a celebration of the lives that we do have.
April is recognized as Autism Awareness Month. Why the necessity of Autism Pride Week?
Well, I see it as an opportunity more than a necessity. It's not something that we have to do. It's something that we want to do. This is something organized by the autistic community, as opposed to the autism community, which can include professionals and quite often, well, historically, was composed almost entirely of parents. It was felt that those of us on the spectrum might not have had that much to say.
What do you hope the community comes away with from Autism Pride Week?
Perhaps some more understanding, certainly an appreciation, a sense that the experience of life can be perhaps richer than they realized in ways that they hadn't associated richness and quality of life with.
Talk for a moment about the idea of lessening of the stigma associated with the diagnosis.
The first piece that I read written by an autistic person, it really, really struck me, was inspirational, was an essay titled "Don't Mourn for Us" by an autistic person named Jim Sinclair. I read that probably in 1995 or 96. And by its very title, "Don't Mourn for Us," the prevailing notion had been that this tragedy had befallen a person and their family, that this real boy or real girl was somehow buried under this terrible thing and they had to be rescued and extricated and saved from this thing that just had a hold of them. Well, it's not like that.
Take us back to the early to mid-1990s when you were diagnosed. Is there a reluctance to be evaluated or diagnosed, and did you experience that reluctance?
There can be a reluctance, a kind of... A technical supervisor at a company where I used to work said he had a saying that he got from his father, and the saying was, "Never take the head off a running engine." What that meant is, leave well enough alone. Don't ask too many questions. Just let it be. Well, it was an opportunity for me to look further into myself with the help of the professionals to get a better understanding of myself. And what I got out of that was that my life finally started to make some sense. There were large parts of my life that I didn't understand at all. All of these things kept blowing up or going wrong, and I had no idea why there were things that were so hard. And with the understanding that I got from the evaluation and diagnosis, I could say, well, of course I had trouble with this or that. Of course I have these special interests or perhaps these skills in some very, very sharply defined areas that I didn't know what to do with. Now I can see them as part of what my maker gave me, that I may have some what might be called deficits or deficiencies in some areas, but then in other areas, there's a lot of cool stuff that I can do as part of my experience of life, that I can contribute to society. It wasn't seen that way for a long time.
So since 1994, the quality of your life has changed and improved.
Vastly. Yeah. Yeah. Getting that diagnosis and starting on the path of of getting more self-understanding, of having access to professionals who understood and the services and support that comes with them, and the experience of being able to hang out, communicate, and become part of a community with others like me. That's been wonderful.
Has this community, and for that matter, the state of North Carolina, been supportive over the years?
Yeah. There's between TEACH, T-E-A-C-C-H, which is an organization that's affiliated with the University of North Carolina, and the Autism Society of North Carolina. Those two organizations are world-renowned, and there's all kinds of, stories I've heard, apocryphal evidence, I suppose, but of people moving to North Carolina to get access to services. That picture is fluid, depending on what each state does as far as funding and services and so on. But yeah, there's been a good bit of support, wonderful people that I've had the opportunity to work with and be helped by over the years. And I'm not just saying that because I have been and will soon again be a member of the board of the Autism Society of North Carolina. I'm speaking as an individual when I say that.
Tell us about some of the events that are planned during the week.
What I would do is refer anyone who's interested in seeing in detail to the site, which I believe is autismprideweek.org. My own primary involvement with the week is to be the opening speaker at Sunday's gathering at Diana Wortham Theater.
Which features the author Andrew Solomon, the National Book Critics Award winner for nonfiction. I assume he'll be talking about his book Far From the Tree.
Yeah, that's a wonderful book. I've really enjoyed reading it. There is a chapter on autism, and I expect that he'll be speaking from that. I have the opportunity to bring the experiences and the perspective of a person on the autism spectrum, and what I hope to do with the hour I have before Andrew's hour is to map out some more territory that shows what life as an autistic person can be like. And then I'm seeing that as kind of an adjunct to what Andrew wrote with his interviews with folks on the spectrum and parents and so on.
In addition to Andrew Solomon on Sunday, there are art exhibits and a series of films.
There are. We on the autism spectrum have quite a bit to say in whatever form. A person doesn't even have to be verbal to have a great deal to say. I met an autistic woman named Amanda Baggs a number of years ago. And a few years ago, she put out a YouTube video. I forget the title of it, but the name Baggs, B-A-G-G-S, is unique enough it could be found. She's completely nonverbal, and from the way she looks, just rocking and making sounds, but just doesn't seem to be really connected at all. That shows how misleading surface impressions can be. It's so easy to misjudge us autistic people. Either folks that appear to be so, to use a term that some have a problem with, including myself, low-functioning, that they couldn't possibly have anything to say or may not even be thinking anything useful. That's one way we can be misjudged. Another is that those of us who are able to put words together and sound reasonably coherent, at least on a good day for me, we're sometimes almost discarded. Critics try to separate us from the rest of autistic people, saying, oh, you're not really autistic, you're just pretending you're a fake autistic. I was called that online once. That hurt. And it's not true. There's much more to us than surface impressions might give, and I hope this week will give the community an opportunity to see that.
How optimistic are you that our understanding of Asperger's will evolve and change over the short term, and that we'll come to an even greater understanding of what it's really all about?
Well, it's been a long road. I mean, the paper that Hans Asperger did, the primary paper, was in German and wasn't even translated into English until 1981. There's been a learning curve involved. And that curve, I think, is starting to pick up speed. It's starting to point more sharply upward as time goes on. We're gaining momentum, I suppose you could say. There are more and more folks who are speaking out in whatever form, who've written a great number of books. Temple Grandin has a number of books, and there are a number of other folks around. So, you know, I suppose borrowing a term from another community, you could say we're everywhere.
Autism Pride Week runs through Saturday, June 22nd. Dave Spicer, thank you very much.
You're very welcome. Glad to be back.